will commence in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week of September 28, 2007, this is the Rain Report, the weekly audio ham radio feature magazine of Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. During the FCC forum held this past spring at the Dayton Hamvention, William Cross, W3TN, publicly declared that D-Star digital repeaters are not repeaters. You can hear his comments from that talk on the archive page at therainreport.com. His definition has created considerable consternation among frequency coordinators worldwide. Just ask J. Maynard, K5ZC, president of the NFCC, the National Frequency Coordination Council. Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, spoke with Jay about the evolution of the NFCC and its filing with the FCC.
The NFCC was formed in a big meeting of all the frequency coordinators across the country in 1996. The original purpose was to serve as a single point of contact between the frequency coordination community and the FCC. That has since gone by the wayside. The FCC decided that they didn't need to have a single point of contact. They could contact the various coordinators around the country all by themselves. But what's left of it, or what it's doing now, is serving as a membership body for the frequency coordinators in the country. The primary requisite for membership is that a coordinator be recognized by all of the other coordinators that surround him. So if you're a member of the NFCC, you are recognized in the frequency coordination community and your neighbors all cooperate with you. That means that an NFCC member coordinator has the support of the amateur community and is recognized as the coordinator for the area and for the bands that he claims to be the coordinator for.
So the NFCC has become the umbrella organization under which the nation's frequency coordinators meet, gather, discuss things of importance and things along those lines.
Yes, that's correct. That discussion goes on all the time on the NFCC mailing list. Coordinators get together and hash out issues and discuss things of importance to the coordination community. A lot of times the coordinators discuss, for example, a coordinator that isn't responding to requests and how to, from the members of his area or from other coordinators, and how to get them to respond in a more timely manner.
That's one of the things that people who want to put up repeaters or who want to change things are always complaining about. They can never get in touch with their coordinators. So you guys are actually trying to work to bring more communications, I guess, between the coordination community and those that coordinate.
Not only more communications, but better understanding as well. Frequency coordination is not understood very well by a lot of hams. They see coordinators as people who hoard frequencies and only allow their buddies to put on repeaters, and that's really a long ways wide of the mark. A coordinator has no enforcement power. All he can do is recommend, hey, if you want to put up a repeater, then if you put it on this frequency, you won't cause interference or won't cause much interference, whereas if you put it on some other frequency, you might. And that's really all the extent of a coordinator's authority.
The coordinator basically serves at the will of the ham community, I guess.
Very much so. If the ham community in the area the coordinator claims to serve doesn't support him, then he will eventually dry up and blow away. And it's happened several times.
I can think of twice in the New York metro area, for example, over my lifetime.
Exactly. Although, with that said, I will point out that the NFCC earlier this year elected two new members to membership in the council, and one of them was MetroCorps, which serves the New York metropolitan area in northern New Jersey.
Which, by the way, seems to be doing one heck of a banged-up job.
That's the feedback I'm getting as well.
So now, as technology changes, obviously this is of importance to frequency coordinators, and the latest thing that's happening in ham radio or relay communications is it's going digital.
Yes, narrowband digital technology has been around in the commercial world for a few years now and is just now beginning to take hold in the amateur world as well, with technologies such as APCO P25 and D-Star.
Is it growing slower than expected, as fast or faster?
I don't have a good feel for P25. I know that there are people out there running P25 in the ham bands and claiming that it works very well. I don't have any experience myself. I do know that the D-Star system is taking off in the amateur community. I've seen graphs of registered users of the D-Star gateway network, and it's a classic exponential growth curve. Alabama has a bunch of repeaters on. They are working very closely with the agencies that perform emergency service in their state and really getting out in front and providing a lot of good service to those agencies. There are more D-Star repeaters in Alabama than any other state of the union.
Yeah, I know everybody else is kind of playing catch up with them, but they actually started with a brand new infrastructure and are building outward on it. I've talked to them when I was at the Huntsville Ham Fest. We've got the big problem, it seems, though, is where to put these machines, because a good number of people want to put up a repeater, want to put up a digital repeater. The problem is there doesn't seem to be any place to put them. And then, of course, the FCC got involved, and this is the reason we're talking today, because the FCC came up with a rather strange finding on that.
Yeah, for a long time, there have been a real shortage of frequencies, especially in the 2-meter band in larger cities, and in some places in the 440 band as well, where all of the frequencies have been assigned to people and the coordinators haven't been able to say, well, if you put it here, you won't cause interference, because all the frequencies have somebody to which they would cause interference. And this has gone on long enough in some of the really larger cities, places like Chicago, LA, New York, Houston, that there's a lot of pent-up demand.
You're listening to an interview with the president of the NFCC, National Frequency Coordination Council, Jay Maynard, K5ZC, who was just interviewed by Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. The council filed a formal petition with the FCC in late September to require digital repeaters observe the same coordination guidelines as their ubiquitous FM counterparts. We'll be right back. This is the RAIN Report.
When D-Star started really taking off, somebody wanted to put up a 2-meter D-Star repeater and went to their local coordination council and was told, no, I'm sorry, we don't have any frequencies available for you. And in desperation, I don't know if that's a really accurate way to put it, but it's close enough, they went to the FCC and described what D-Star did in such a way that the FCC, specifically Bill Cross, concluded that a D-Star repeater really wasn't a repeater and therefore did not have to operate in the repeater subbands. And so this guy said, oh, okay, fine. Put his machine up on 145.61 with a minus 1.2 meg offset and went to town. That got D-Star a foothold in that area, but it also opened a real can of worms, because the way Bill Cross wrote the message, he said that it's not simultaneous because there's a delay in the path between the input and the output. And the problem there is that lots of repeaters have delays in the path between the input and output. Anybody that's running an RC850 or similar computerized controller has a delay. And it was only a matter of time before some bright spark read that message and said, aha, my repeater doesn't transmit simultaneously either. It's not a repeater. I can get on outside the repeater subbands and go to town. Historically, way back in the dark ages, before I became a ham, in the late 60s and early 70s, there was a lot of proliferation of repeaters. That was really the golden age of repeater construction. And that is, in that era, is when frequency coordination first came about, because you had people wanting to put their repeaters up all on the same frequency, and that didn't work very well, as you might imagine. Part of the regulation that came down to stem that tide was restricting repeaters to parts of the ham band so that they wouldn't take over the entire band. After all, there are folks that do other things besides operate FM repeaters on 2 meters and on some of the other bands. They have just as much right to operate on the ham bands as repeater operators do. That's where the restriction to certain subbands comes from. So if people can start putting up repeaters outside those subbands, that to me and to the membership of the NFCC could lead to a significant problem and could, at worst case, put us right back in the late 60s. The range wars, all the fights between people who want to run a repeater versus want to run weak signal or moon bounce or lots of other modes that a lot of folks don't realize are even there.
You've got all these people who operate FM, and a lot of them are unaware of the fact that there are people who have other interests, especially weak signal, to put a repeater in the middle of the weak signal band is looking for a problem.
Or worse, put a repeater in the middle of the satellite band, and all of a sudden, not only are you interfering with your local weak signal people, but you're getting into the satellite's pass band, and you're interfering with people literally successfully around the world.
This is interesting because most of the time you would not think of a repeater organization wanting to protect anything other than repeater spectrum, and here your organization is looking to protect everybody else's spectrum from repeaters.
Yeah, although that's actually a misapprehension on the part of a lot of folks, because every coordination council I know of does not just frequency coordination for repeaters, but also band planning. And band planning has to involve all of the users of a band. And so when band plans get drawn up, and here I have to say that the ARRL has a band plan for all the different bands, but the conditions vary from one place to the next. And so each frequency coordination body has adopted its own band plans, and universally, they involve not just the repeater operator, but the ATV community and the weak signal community and the satellite community and all these other users of the bands in developing these band plans. And so we think in terms of everybody, not just the repeater owners. That's why we took the action that we did. We looked at Bill Cross's letter where he said that if it has a delay, it's not a repeater. The reaction amongst almost all of the folks that I talked to about it was that, wait a minute, if it acts like a repeater, it should be treated like a repeater. It passes the duck test. Does it act like a duck? It's a duck. And what the NFCC did, not without a lot of wrangling, I have to say, but what the NFCC did was vote to ask the FCC to treat anything that acts like a repeater as a repeater. This was a formal motion and vote of the council. What they voted was to send Bill Cross a letter asking him to treat anything that repeats or retransmits an amateur signal on a different frequency while it is being received, with a couple of exceptions to exclude some cases that obviously aren't repeaters, but treat that as a repeater for the purposes of amateur enforcement. That letter went out the day after the vote was final. I have not heard back from Bill. He'll get the physical copy sometime this week. I also emailed him a PDF copy of the letter as well when I sent it to him, so he's at least seen it.
Do you think it could just lead to a simple statement from the FCC, hey, if it passes the duck test, you know, if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. Same thing for repeaters. Or could this possibly lead to a notice of proposed rulemaking?
I don't know that it will generate a proposal for rulemaking. What I expect to happen in the near term, there have been several folks around the country who have put up D-Star DV system repeaters outside the repeater subbands. At least one of them has been made known to Raleigh Hollingsworth. The first system that went on, somebody complained to the FCC about this guy operating a repeater outside the repeater subband, and Raleigh went to Bill Cross, and that's what precipitated the letter in the first place. So what I expect will happen is Raleigh and Bill, they'll get together and discuss it, and what I'm hoping will happen is that Bill will say, okay, so if it acts like a repeater, it's a repeater, and Raleigh will then go to this system owner and perhaps others that he may have heard of and say, okay, we have changed our mind. We're not going to cite you for relying on what we told you before, but you got to move. I don't know if that's going to produce any pronouncements, any statements. I don't expect it to rise to the level of a notice of proposed rulemaking, however.
This has been part one of an interview with Jay Maynard, K5ZC, president of the NFCC, National Frequency Coordination Council. He was interviewed by Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. We'll bring you the conclusion of Bill's interview next week. The RAIN Report is available as a free weekly MP3 download and podcast from therainreport.com. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990 through 2007, RAIN, all rights reserved. Now, for RAIN's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ, bidding you very 73 from all of us at the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.